Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. For the things that he has done. We'll go ahead and kick off our Men's Day program. Amen.
Amen.
Courageous men overcoming adversities and facing challenges and everything. So we are here to have a hallelujah good time. As I told y'all earlier, don't plan on holding y'all long. Amen. We're going to hear what the word of the Lord says. We heard what God, what thus said the Lord. And we're going to see if we can get y'all on to your house. Amen.
Amen.
Because we all, as they say, they got the items. Amen. Amen. So we're going to move forward with scripture by Deacon Davis and then a prayer by Reverend Kendrick.
Amen. I'll be reading from Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will not help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. May the Lord have a blessing of reading to his word.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this service, Father. We thank you that you have given many traveling graces to arrive here, Father, safely. And we thank you, Father, for this gathering, Father. We understand that you are an intentional God and that a word is being delivered for those who were able to be here. And so we thank you again, Father, for the word that's coming forth, Father. We thank you for standing up in the man of God that's going to bring the message today, Father. Let it be edifying, Father. Let it be fulfilling, Father. Let it be the dessert after dinner today. And we, all these things we ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And while we're preparing for the music, I thought about something funny. The other day, me and an officer, we were out, and that scripture that Robert read, and when we finished it, he said, D, come here. And I said, okay. I said, what am I doing? He said, come around to the passenger side of my car. And I said, what are you finna do, Muhammad? He said, I want to show you something. So I went around to the passenger side of his car, was reading, he had a sticker on his cage, sitting where basically where a prisoner was in his car that they could look at it. And on this sticker that was on his cage, it was Isaiah 41 to 10. Fear not, for I am with God, and I am with you. Then he had another picture of Jesus, and it said, be still, I'm watching you. I said, so you read this scripture, it made you think back to it. And I said, Boy, we should have just come up with some things. But we just come to have a hallelujah good time. We come to have time in the Lord. Amen. You would definitely hear from one of God's preachers this afternoon. He is a great man of God. And we're going to move forward with some songs. And we're gonna work this thing out. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
quiet.
Amen, amen. Amen. This, we're going to tell y'all, this is going to move real quick. Amen. We come to the part of the service that everybody can participate in. Amen. Amen. You get your offering in your hand. Amen. We'll give you one more song, and the next voice you're going to hear will be that of the Reverend Pastor Reginald Hubbard. Amen. And Christ be the King International Fellowship. Amen. Hear ye him. That's what you're going to hear. Amen. 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 You get a seed in your hand. Amen. Seed in your hand, and then we're gonna come down here and we'll get this basket down here. If you want to give cash out, give $GreaterPraiseBCO6. $GreaterPraiseBCO6. Amen. Amen. Both sides, please stand. Face the middle aisle, start the ring. Socks on that goes all the way up to his kneecaps, but he's still a great man. he's one of our officers that when he come out, his pants, they always starch. I ain't never seen it. Even though they might be two colors, they might be tan on the backside, green in the front. He still always makes sure that his uniform is presentable. I can tell you all this stuff about my brother, Pastor Reginald Hubbard, but what I can tell you is that he loves the Lord. I can tell you is that he can pray. What I can tell you is that he can preach, amen? Amen. So after the choir has done one more selection, the next voice you will hear will be that of the Pastor Reginald Hubbard of the Christ Be the King International Fellowship, 1920 South Mansfield, Dale City, Oklahoma, 73115. Hear ye him. Extend your right hand, tell him, Pastor Hubbard, preach the word. Pastor Hubbard, preach the word. Hey, Pastor Hubbard, go on and do your thing. Amen.
We're now changing our key. After the rain,
Jesus Christ, He's always been mine. After the rain, sun will shine. Yeah. After the rain, the sun will shine. Oh, what a blessed joy divine.
same way. Yes, Lord. Yes. I love me back because he loved me first. I love me back because he loved me first. I love me back because he loved me first. I love him back because he loved me first. I love him back because he loved me first. Because he loved me first. Because he loved me first. I love him back because he loved me first. Because he loved me first. Because he loved me first. He loved me first. He loved me first. Because 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 he loved me first. He loved me first. He loved me first. He loved me first. When I was out in the streets, he loved me first. When I was an alcoholic, he loved me first. When I was a drug addict, he loved me first. When I didn't know what to do, he loved me first. When I was lonely first, he loved me first. He loved me first. He loved me first.
Myself. I'm supposed to be at another ministry right now, because we started another organization called Heart for God's Kingdom Ministry. And so we have a couple of sister churches that's up under this umbrella. And so it's just for us to advance the kingdom more. And, my little small ministry and there's a couple of others, Elder Jones and Elder Williams and Elder Lewis Rogers from Miracle Temple. That's where they at now. And so it is our heart's desire, amen, to advance the kingdom and support one another. Amen. And so I'm supposed to be there, but I told my wife I'm just gone and the members and I sent my seed and stuff. So I told them I'm going to be a greater praise. Amen. I want to, do what the Lord, be obedient to God. Amen. And then obedient to the bishop. Amen. And I want to honor your pastor here, your bishop. Amen. And pastor, lieutenant.
Amen.
Amen. All the associate, youth pastor. Amen. Apostle. All the leaders and the whole body of Christ. And, when I first went back to Arcadia, amen, I just want to say, I'm thankful, amen, for Bishop, the Chief, Lieutenant, Sergeant, as who is here, and the leaders, because I'm the one on the bottom. I'm on the, and I'm still learning, amen, from them. But it is a blessing to be out there because even though, we joke around and he constantly tells us that we're family and he pushes me. And I just want to say thank you to the leaders out there in Arcadia, amen, because I need that push, amen. But tonight, again, like last time I was here, I heard Pastor talking about my socks. Amen. And so I intentionally told my wife to go get me some more socks. So I got these on right here. Amen. I had to get some more. Amen. Because I know where I was going. I was going to greater praise. And I wouldn't fist a word of long socks in here tonight. No, they weren't going to talk about me. No. But it's all love. It's all love. God is so good to us. Amen. He really is. How many know that we live right now in a dark world?
Amen.
We live in a dark world. It's we're living in some trying times. And, it's more about culture than Christ. It's more about Democratic and Republican more than Christ. And we got to call it like it is. And the world, the reason why it's in this predicament that we're in is because of sin. Sin, and that's it. That's it, sin. And so we have got to, as the church, believers in Christ, we have to continue to pray and believe God that he gonna turn this thing around. But if he don't, I know what the word says, and I believe it's going to get worse before it get better. I truly believe that because of what God shows me in the spirit. But we got to stay on our post. We don't ever turn your back on God because he won't turn his back on you. Ain't that what the word says? God said he'll never leave you, forsake you. As I look back, amen, before I got saved, God was with us. He was with me. Just think about it. Before you even received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, he kept you until the day that you did. That's why I love him so much. That's why I try to stay on that straight and narrow. Even though I fall, even though I trip, but for a believer, let me say that, down on the floor is not a comfortable place for him or her. Because I got to get up. We got to get up as believers, because we can't stay down. Amen, somebody. We can't stay down. We got to get back up, and that's where God wants us to be, is in our rightful position, praying and believing God for still miracles in our life and in our family's life. Amen. I won't be with you long. I heard what the lieutenant said. It's going to be a short service. Amen. I already knew he said, he asked me, he said, are you a long-winded preacher? I said, I ain't gonna say nothing. And hopefully the Holy Ghost don't fall up on me, because it ain't me, Lieutenant. It won't be me, so don't jump on me. Amen. But if you have your Bibles, we're gonna get in the Word of God. If you wanna follow along with your cell phone, amen. I'm thankful for this night. I heard that this is a men's night, but I see more females in the house. Amen. And however which way the word applies to you, amen, just receive it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. It's a blessing to see everyone. Amen. Again, God is so good. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 through 13. And I'm going to follow suit on the scripture that was on the flyer. Amen. And the theme, what was the theme?
Courageous men facing challenges and overcoming adversity.
Amen. Amen. That's going to be the theme for tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If you have it, say amen.
1 Corinthians 16 and 13.
Yep.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13.
Yes. The Word of God reads like this. Verse 13, it says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Go to verse 20. Verse 20 says, all the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation with my own hand. Pause. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
May be seated. Thank God for the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Stand fast in the faith. That means to stay right where you at in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ is the fulfillment of all things. And I want to share with you tonight that it's good to be in the church, but it's far better to be in Christ. In Christ Jesus. Stand fast in the faith was a frequent encouragement of the Apostle Paul. And I want to share with us that in the early church, my brothers and sisters, they faced many challenges, many tests and trials in the early church. And there were even some Gnostics that came in that tried to infiltrate the church. And they believed that they had special knowledge. Amen. Above the word of God. Have you ever heard that Gnosticism?
Yeah.
They tried to infiltrate the church in the beginning. And so Apostle Paul had to encourage the Gentiles to stand fast in the faith. I know some that has went to sleep at night and woke up in the morning and claimed that they had special knowledge or a different revelation. And what they heard was a word from the devil, but it wasn't from God. And there's a lot of people today that believe that they can gain knowledge and more wisdom from other books. And it's all right to have a commentary or something that'll help you in the word of God. But the Bible is all that we need. The Bible, the word of God, is all that we need. Paul told what the Galatians, I'm going to deal with the Galatians real fast before I deal with the church of Corinth. He told the Galatians to stand fast in their spiritual freedom in Christ Jesus. And if you ain't in Christ, you ain't free. Yeah, brother I talked to not too long ago, he was like, man, do you eat pork? I said, oh, yeah, I eat pork. Well, I don't know. You know, the Bible, you went to the word, told me, you're going to go to hell because you eat pork. I said, oh, okay. And the Lord began to show me something, is that when we are in Christ Jesus, we are free. We are free from the law, because when Jesus came, he came to fulfill the law. So when we get in Christ, I can eat pork. I just got to be careful how much I eat. Because a lot of people still up under the law of the Mosaic law, and they don't understand grace. They don't understand that. Paul told the Galatians to stand fast in their spiritual freedom in Christ Jesus. And then he went to Philippians and he said, he urged the Philippians to stand fast in one spirit as they live a life worthy of the gospel. I can't turn my back on God. I can't turn my back on the gospel. I can't turn my back on Jesus. Why? Because he was the only one there when nobody else was there. Nobody else was there but Jesus. To continue to live a life worthy of the gospel. And to the believers in Corinth, Paul exhorted, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave and be strong. I don't know about you, but God did not call no wimps into the kingdom. He didn't call no wimps. God called us to walk in authority. He called us to walk in power. I don't know about you, but God called us that when we see issues and problems, he's given us the authority to bind and rebuke the enemy when he comes. That's why even with the men tonight that's here, we got to walk in this authority, because the Bible says that when the enemy comes, he'll come to try to tie up the strong man. And when
If he can get to the strong man, he can get to the body. He'll get to the body. That sometimes that's how the enemy will come, because sometimes the man, he'll see that he's strong and he's in one place and then immovable, not going nowhere. And so he'll go through your wife or go through somebody that know just how to push your buttons. Just to see how strong you really is. It happens with me. He'll go through my wife and then you find me all out of shape. And then I got to go repent. And I say, boy, you got me this time. Yeah, but how would you notice? That's how the enemy comes. Subtle. He'll come subtle. You be having a good time with your spouse. Then all of a sudden, hell breaks loose. And you wonder, how did we get to this place? I just talked to a couple the other day. I was counseling them. And I told this brother, I said, brother, let me ask you something. Have you ever just grabbed your wife's hands and started praying? He said, I've never done that. I said, because see, listen, your wife is not the enemy. You're not the enemy, but we do have one that does not want y'all together. We got an enemy that will come to steal, kill, and destroy, and break up marriages and break up relationships. But we got to exercise the authority that God has put in us. That authority is His Holy Ghost. That authority is His Spirit. I can't do it by myself, but God can through us. He'll do it through you. See, I still believe in miracles because I'm a miracle. I tell people all the time, I say, listen, if you don't believe God worked miracles, look at me. Some folk don't believe I'm still saved. They don't. They say, because you was a booger. You was something. I mean, if God can save you, He can save anybody. I say, I know. But in order for God to move, you got to surrender. We got to surrender. The first time I seen God move in my life, it made me cry because I tried Him. I tried Him. I was young in the faith, but I tried Him. I said, if you real, I'm going to pray. I need you to move this situation. And I cried and I stopped on the highway on my way to Chickasha. I prayed. And when I got to Chickasha, they dropped the charges. I said, Lord, thank you. I said, oh my God. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, you got to be real. And ain't that what Christ do? When the enemy bring up your past, all you got to do is bring up his future. When he try to bring up accusations against you, Jesus will come in the courtroom and say, no. I'll take his charges. Give me the death penalty. Because all of us deserve to die. But Jesus took the death penalty from you and he put it on himself. See, there was an exchange. There was an exchange when Jesus came. And the life that he laid down. Because see, nobody took his life. He laid it down for free. And the same Jesus that laid his life down raised it back up on the third day. That's why I tell you, ain't nobody better than him. Who you know can lay your life down and then pick it back up? Who ain't nobody, oh boy, ain't nobody bad like that. Can lay it down and pick it back up. Christians, I say this, Christians in the early church confronted numerous trials and challenges that tested their commitment to Christ. And we're facing that today. A lot of different trials, tribulations, tests, and everything that the enemy is trying to throw at us. I mean, today is the day that we got to stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith seems to be Paul's mantra, compelling believers to dig in their heels and remain consistent as they face hardship, danger, and persecution. Paul calls fellow believers to stay true to the Lord. True to the Lord. Why would Paul say that? Because there were many that were turning their back on God. It's like that today. Many are turning their backs on God. And really don't even have a good excuse why. It's just that the word says that many are going to fall from the wayside. Wow. The very elect is going to fall away from the church. That's what it's doing now. But I've come to encourage you to do not lose your faith. Stand fast in the faith of God. Stand fast. I don't know about you, but I got a destination. My destination is heaven. Is your destination heaven tonight? Our destination is heaven. We got to stay true to the Lord. Stand fast or stand firm appears, what, 8 times in the New Testament. And in the original Greek, the term means to hold one's ground. Maintain a position. Be steadfast. Remain upright. Persistent. Persevere. And don't give up. In other words, Paul is trying to tell us to stay on our toes. And don't give up. Because the race is not given to the strong or the swift, but to the one that endureth to the end. You got to endure to the end. You got to keep walking in faith. You got to keep believing. You got to keep praying. You got to stay on your knees. You got to keep running for Jesus. You got to keep running for Jesus. Yeah. It's to the one that endureth to the end. Huh? I went to a track meet. I remember when my sister, she was running track for John Marshall, and she went from John Marshall and she went to Kansas State and then Go Bears. Then from Kansas State, she went to Miami and started running track there. And I would try to follow her and go to some of her track meets. And I remember she was good in the hurdles. And I remember one time she was running. I can't even remember what school it was, but she was running and she tripped up and fell down on the ground. Kind of hurt herself a little bit. But one thing that inspired me was when she got up, she just limped to the finish line. And what I'm seeing is, you might be bruised. You might have been going through something. You might be going through a trial and tribulation, but I don't care how bad it gets. You just keep limping and you keep going toward the finish line. It doesn't matter if you come in first. It doesn't matter if you come in second. As long as you get across the finish line. She inspired me. She kept going. No, she didn't come in first, but she was in that number. Huh? That's all. I don't have to come in first. You might get across before I do, but as long as I'm in that number. Hallelujah, somebody. Long as I'm headed in the right direction. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We got to keep going. In a similar warning to remain steadfast in the face of adversity. The Apostle Peter writes, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We go through about the same things, my brothers. The same kind of suffering, the same trial, the same test, the same oppositions in our life. But we got to encourage one another. We got to keep lifting each other up in Christ Jesus. If you see your brother down, if you more spiritual than your brother, your sister, pick them up, pull them out of the fire, pray for them, because you don't want to see them down. You don't want to see them in a place of despair. And so we got to continue to lift one another up. Christians, my brothers and sisters, we have a real active enemy who is constantly trying to take us down. We stand fast in the faith through what? Prayer and spiritual warfare. That's what we got to do. We got to keep praying. We got to keep fighting. It's not by flesh and blood, but by principalities and spirits that's in high places. When we fight in prayer, God will begin to move. I believe that, church. Miracles still happen. All we got to do is believe. The word of God says that signs, miracles, and wonders follow them who believe. You got to be a believer. This is what the Bible is all about. Belief and faith in Christ Jesus. How do you believe and understand Peter walking on the water? He was a mere man just like us. But because he believed in Jesus Christ, because he stood on the word by faith, when Jesus told him to come, he stepped out in faith and begin to walk on water. But because of the storm, because of the waves and the things, and when we begin to start looking at our problems and our issues, we begin to start sinking like Peter. But thank God he called on his Savior. And when he called on him, Jesus reached down and picked him back up. But you know something, when you are operating in faith, your issue seems like it's none around you. We begin to, as people, as human beings, focus on our issues more than we focus on what God can do in our life. And when we begin to focus, it's like looking in a magnifying glass. Your issue seems to be bigger than your God. That's when we start focusing on our issue. We just stand there and don't believe that God can do it. But how many know when you look in the magnifying glass, the thing on the other side is still the same size? The object is still the same size. It's just that we focus so much on it, it becomes bigger than our God. But how many know that God can do anything that he want to do? He can. Brothers and sisters, I've seen miracles. I have seen miracles. I have casted out demons out of a brother. I've seen God shed a light right on my windshield. And I've seen it just fly past me because I was asleep and I believe I was going to have a wreck. But God sent a light to wake up my senses. I've seen miracles. I've seen people on the ground squirming around with green smoke coming out of them because they was demon possessed. church. I preached his funeral not too long ago. Prophet Hubbard. And he was an alcoholic. I'm telling you. He would jump on a train and just ride to the stop with a gallon of alcohol. But when God touched his life, when God saved him, I'm telling you, he was one of the mightiest men here in Oklahoma City. And he told me one day, he said that people that drink alcohol, they don't know what's all in the bottle. Glory. Spirits in that bottle. He said that when he was drinking, he said he whooped a little tail and he got his tail whooped. In that bottle is a little jail time. In that bottle is some prison time. Huh? In that bottle is a sentence. Yeah. That's the same thing happened to me. Everybody, I don't care about sharing my testimony, about the drugs that I was on. I was bound by drugs so much that I had a stroke in 1994. I couldn't feel my head. I couldn't feel nothing on my body. And when the doctor came in and said, Mr. Hubbard, out of all the years of my practicing as a doctor, no one has ever came in here with a blood pressure as high as yours without having a massive heart attack. And I said, what? And he told me, he said, if you stay on the path you're on, you're going to be dead in a year. And when he told me that, the light, the room, it just lit up. I seen a bright light. And I was like, what is this? But in my heart, I said, I'm stopping. I stopped cold turkey and had to be rushed back in 3 days because I denied my body alcohol and drugs. But it got to a time to where I had to surrender. And when I surrendered, God stepped in. And there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. When the enemy thought he had you, devil, the God, he made a way of escape for you. When he thought that he killed you, God was right there. I believe that. We have a real active enemy who's constantly trying to take us down. And we got to fight the good fight of faith with prayer and spiritual warfare by staying alert and on guard with our eyes wide open so the devil doesn't hit us with a surprise attack. For this reason, Paul instructs us to put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. You got to put on the whole armor. I remember one day I was out there in Arcadia, and you know, I said to myself, I'm not wearing my bulletproof vest. That thing is too heavy, it's uncomfortable. And I'm out there, and Chief didn't touch my chest. I said, oh man. He touched my chest. He said, Hubba, where's your vest? I said, it's in the car. You got to put it on because we don't understand really what the armor does. It protects us. But when you got on the spiritual armor, from your head to your toe, the enemy can't touch you. I don't care how many fiery darts he shoot at you. We got to just be like the Wonder Woman. Just remember the Wonder Woman. She's the knock them, She used to knock them down. Every shot that came at her, we got to be just like that. We got to walk in the authority of God. We got to walk in this authority. We stand fast in the faith by what? Studying God's word and not wavering in the truth of the gospel. We can't waver. Paul tells the Thessalonians, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by mouth or letter. Paul was saying, however which way I delivered this message to you, to stay right there. Continue in the faith. Continue the things that you learned when you was a little child.
That's right.
I believe somebody in here, amen, that their grandma didn't put them on the bus when they was little and sent you off to church. Even though you didn't understand, you probably didn't want to go. But because grandma sent you off to church, the seed of righteousness was sown in you. See, there are some people here that just can't help but to come to church. Huh? There are some people here that just is sealed by the Holy Ghost for the day of redemption. There are some people here this evening that just can't help but to give God glory and praise. There's some people here, I don't know if it's just me or what, but I can't give up on God. I don't care how hard it gets. Because Jesus, his blood will cover you. How many believe that tonight? We got to stand fast in the word of God. Like Timothy, we must work hard and to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. How many know the young Timothy, his grandmother, Lois, and his mama Eunice, they taught him as a little boy. And Paul, all he did was encourage him to stay in the faith. He encouraged young Timothy. Timothy, the very thing that you are preaching, you continue in them things. Because the enemy, he'll try to what? Pull you away from the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it is the word of God. It is the word of truth that changes our life. That's the reason why we are here tonight. The reason why you say, because you gave your life to Jesus and you're reading your word. It's the word of God. My Bible says that Jesus is the word. So we got to stay in the word of God and let the word of God feed us. Gotta feed us. Yeah, it'll feed us. Amen. I told a story one time about two dogs. One white spiritual dog and one black evil dog. And in the morning time, the man that had the dogs got up, and when he got up to go to work, he went and got the big dog, a bag of dog food, and he went out in the backyard and he fed the black evil dog. But it didn't give the white spiritual dog no food. And each morning he got up and he got that bag and he just kept feeding that black evil dog. And then one day, the black evil dog and the white spiritual dog got into a confrontation. And the black evil dog overcame the white spiritual dog. And it's because he was lacking nourishment. Because he wasn't strong, because he wasn't eating nothing, he was weak. And that's just the way we are when we get out of this word, when we're not in our word. When we're lacking prayer, when we're not in the word of God, we become weak and we get weak. And so when the enemy comes, we don't know how to fight. We don't know anything about warfare when it comes because we are too weak to bind the enemy. Just like the seven sons of Sceva. How they tried to cast out that demon. And he said in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And he tried to cast him out. And that spirit spoke to them and says, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know, but who are you? Who are you trying to cast me out? And we can't do it within our own strength, but we can do it with the power of the Holy Ghost. We can do it in God's strength. I've seen it work. All we got to do is just say a word and watch the situation turn around. I'm crazy, church. I'm crazy. I did this one time. My wife, she almost kicked me. Let me tell you how powerful the word is. I went into Walmart and I said, Jesus, I love you. You should have seen some people that when I said that word, the name of Jesus, some folk looked at me crazy. But it was some in there that was some saved folk that said, hallelujah. But the word of God, his name, will drive you or it will draw you. But we got to exercise the authority of God in our life. I'm almost done. Like Paul, we make it our goal to know and understand what we believe. And mostly important, my brothers and sisters, know the one in whom we have believed. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why I am suffering in prison. Paul says, I'm suffering because I believe the word of God, not because he did anything, but because Paul was an anointed man of God.
Yeah.
But he believed in the word. He believed in the word. But he said, but I am not ashamed of it. For I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. When Jesus Christ comes back, do you not know he gonna know who his children are? And the how he gonna know it is because his spirit is what he's looking for. If we got the spirit of God living in us, which is a person, the Holy Ghost, when he comes back, he's going to identify who his children is. And isn't it a blessing that when God look at us, all he sees is the blood? He don't see your sins no more. He sees the blood. That's why I'm excited to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't worry about nothing when I get up in the morning, because I know that when Jesus, when he died on the cross, he nailed my sins to the cross. He nailed your issues to the cross. He nailed our problems and our issues and our sins to the cross.
Amen.
So now he sees you through the blood. He don't see your sins no more. He see the blood of Jesus. He see his own blood. It's the blood that washed us what? White as snow.
All right.
It's the blood of Jesus Christ. We got to hold on to what the pattern of wholesome teaching.
Yeah.
Paul said that you learn from me. He was still talking to Timothy. A pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost who lives within who? Us. That's why the Bible says that, you know, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think or ask according to the power that lives in who? Us. God called you to be kings and queens. And I'm addressing the women. He's called you to be a queen. He called us to be kings. He's called us to be leaders. He's called us to be men that can get back in their rightful position. He's called us to cover. And let me share something with you tonight. Let me tell you how important us men are. Let me tell you how important we are. In the garden, the first sin was committed. But all through my Bible, I don't know about your Bible, but all through mine, even though we wasn't deceived, the sin was imputed on Adam. Because God seen it faithful to himself to say, listen, she was deceived, but the word came to you out of my mouth. And you were there when you should have covered her. She should have never taken a bite of that forbidden fruit. You were there. You should have covered her. That's why the sin was imputed on man. But we are still a special human being. We're still special because God created us from the dust. The woman is just a byproduct of the dust. That's how important it is for a man to stand up and be a man. In his home, over his children, grandchildren. And let me tell you, it's easier when a woman knows her place. I'm telling you, one day my wife said, I am the boss. I said, girl. And we be playing like that, but I said, girl. You was not the boss. She said, I'm the boss. She be saying that sometimes, I'm the boss. And so I have to put her in her place. But it's a blessing to know. She's all right. Is that, I don't know. Sound like they done been through that or something. But when a woman know her place, it works. Why do it work? Because if we follow the pattern of the Bible, it works. I'm telling you, it works. It just flows. It just flows. You know, I've made some bad decisions. As a pastor, I have. As a pastor, I made some bad decisions where I thought that they were good decisions. I even prayed about it, said, Lord, is this what you want me to do? But because it didn't pan out the way I thought, my wife said, babe, it's okay. Because you did it with a good heart. And when you have a woman behind you, even when we make dumb decisions, it works. Because none of us are perfect. All of us fall short of the glory of God. But we gotta try our best. To do what God has called us to do. I'm almost done, church. I'm almost done. We stand fast in the faith by staying in what? Fellowship with other believers. That's why I'm so thankful tonight that all of us are in fellowship with one another. Because listen, all of us need encouragement sometimes. A lot of times we pour out ourselves. The bishop, he poured out himself. The apostle and the pastors here, we pour out ourselves. But sometimes we got to be poured into. Sometimes somebody got to speak a word to me. There's an evangelist sometimes that comes. She just say, Pastor, And after I prayed, she said, Pastor, now I want to pray for you. I want to pour something back into you. And I say, thank you, because I don't turn down no prayer. I don't turn it down. Even if you think you don't know how to pray, God may hear something and he may move. But I'm so thankful tonight that we're able to be here in the fellowship with one another.
Yes, sir.
In the book of Hebrews, the writer, he exhorts us to what? Hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise.
Yeah.
Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. How many believe that Jesus is at the door? He right there. I'm telling the way that the world is today, that's why I come to encourage you to stand fast in the faith. Because the world is wrapping up. It's in the Bible. The Bible is fulfilling itself. I believe that we're living in the days worse than Noah. I truly believe that because of what God showed me. Who celebrates over a death? You know what I'm talking about. Who celebrates over a death? That brother Kurt. There, people now are making money off of t-shirts. A prophet off of his death.
Yeah.
They have an emoji here. A laughing emoji with his neck to the side. And my heart weeps. I say, God, what kind of world are we living? Just for expressing and giving your opinion. I had a brother one time leave my church, and he was in leadership. And he told me 4 years later, I kept asking what's going on. He took his family out to church. And he came up to my job and he told me, he said, Pastor, I left because you said something about Trump. This is about 5 years ago. I said, what? And he said, you said you didn't like him. And I said, well, I don't. I ain't gonna lie to you, you know. I mean, he got some good qualities. But see, the thing is that I told him, I said, listen, man, I love Trump because I have to. I'm a man of God. God called us to love everybody, but I disapprove of a lot of his ways. But because I said that, he left the church and told me, I'm a Trump lover. That's why I left. And I said, man, I said, that's my opinion. You didn't see me get bent all out of shape when you said that you love him. That's your opinion. And I don't understand that this world, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, that's why we got to encourage one another in the faith. You see a brother or a sister faltering or going, turning, listen, tell them to get back in your rightful position. I love you. And I want to see you inherit the kingdom of God. That's what love does. Do you think it was the three nails that kept Jesus on the cross? No, it was his love that kept him on the cross. As much as we did to him, persecution, he could have called 1,000 legions of angels and just wiped everything out. But it was his love that stayed on the cross. That's what we have to do. Sacrifice for our babies. Sacrifice for those ones that you feel that they're not in the right place. Go talk to them. If you love them, go talk to them. Go pray with them. And if they don't want to, then you keep the dust from up under your feet.
Amen.
Yeah. Because the word of God says, Jesus told disciples that the dust speaks just like the blood. He said, ain't that what Jesus said? He said, let the dust be a testament of them that did not receive you. Let the dust be a testament. And you just move on and tell them you love them. As members of Christ's body, we are like living stones being built into a spiritual temple. With Jesus as our foundational cornerstone and God living in us by His Spirit, we are becoming a solid house for God's glory. A solid house. We stand fast in the faith, depending on God, who established, enables, and anoints us to stand firm in Christ and hold firmly to the faith we profess. God's divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. Instead of shrinking back or turning away from Christ in challenging times, we hold to the hope we profess. For He who promises is faithful. Hallelujah. In our own strength, we are powerless. But in Christ, we can do all things. We're like fragile clay jars holding a priceless treasure, which is Christ Jesus. We do not faint and we do not lose heart. We never give up because our great power is from God. Not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. How many know He'll never leave you? The Christian life requires spiritual endurance and stamina. Christian endurance and stamina. You know, I said to myself, and I'm done, church, I want to say this. As I'm getting older, I realize that I got more time in back of me than I do in front of me. As I get older, I say, you know, I need to start drinking more water. Preacher, I got to start drinking more, eating more vegetables and fruit and all these things. Because how can God use us if we're mistreating His temple? Huh? We can't move like we want to. And I mean, it's crazy now. I'm saying, man, this reality will always be before us. Because sometimes I get up in the morning and have pain in my hip. And I was like, what is this? I'm just getting up in the morning and got pain. But I said, but God. And I get up and I just give it to Him. I said, God, this pain don't belong to me. It don't belong to me. Play that one. It don't belong to me. Yeah. We got to give everything to the Lord. For God is faithful to us. How many believe He's faithful? Hallelujah, somebody. He's faithful. He kept us when we didn't even want to be kept. Huh? And now that we're in the kingdom of God, We got to trust him even when we don't understand. God said, trust me, brother. Trust me, sister. I know it's a little bit too heavy for you. But God said, give it to me and I'll handle it for you. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Amen. If there's anyone that need prayer, you can come down to the front. I'll let these pastors, these great men of God, pray over you. But God is able to bless your life. He'll bless you. If you want God to move in your life, just come down to the front. Just believe God. God is so good to us. Would everyone, let's give room for God to work tonight. Someone that does not know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you can come down and receive Christ tonight. This is the most important step a man can take when he come down and receive Jesus as a Lord and personal Savior. Well, everyone.
Blessing a
or getting ready to do in their life, God. Father, we give you glory. We praise you, God, for who you are. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for salvation. We thank you tonight. Oh, God, we thank you. We praise you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I release the ministering power of your word over this family, over this house. I plead the blood of Jesus right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are taking them to greater heights in you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we give you glory. We give you praise for it all. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. Come on, let's thank God tonight. Give him some glory and praise. Let's thank him for